is Radio 314 on the Red Ice Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone. This is Lana. I'm always curious about what people are doing when they listen to a show. When I listen to shows, I'm usually driving, cooking, or working out, sometimes just trying to fall asleep, which is hard these days considering all that is closing in around us. I hope our American listeners had a pleasant Thanksgiving, and I hope you were able to set the record straight to family and friends who believe the "we slaughtered all the Indians and gave them smallpox blankets" hoax. Anti-white attacks during our holidays get louder and louder each year, but you know all non-whites will culturally appropriate Yule, the Northern Winter Solstice celebration, this year. In fact, I'm doing a video discussing the truth behind Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, and Christmas. By request, my guest is Scott Roberts. He's had several different YouTube channels where he's made over 2,000 videos, many removed by YouTube, talking about modern-day warfare on Europeans and the who, what, where, when, whys. We'll discuss quite a bit. Are our own people all to blame for the destruction of our Euro nations? Will white folks prevail, or are we doomed? Should the best of us retreat and begin building anew? Have we become stagnant? What's next for us? Scott Roberts, coming up. Welcome to the very Scottish, red-bearded Scott Roberts. Thanks for coming on the show this afternoon.
Oh, I'm so very glad to join you, and I'm sorry it took so long. I've been anxiously anticipating this, and I'm glad we're finally here.
Yeah, I had a lot of requests to have you on, so I'm glad that you're finally here, too. So how many YouTube channels have you had that were removed? Because I heard you had over 1,000 videos or so. Is that true?
Well, I've probably recorded over 2,000 videos. I stopped counting a while ago, and back in 2007, 2008, 2009, I was putting out short videos, 10 minutes or under, several a day, covering all the various topics. And I lost count at over 1,000 YouTube channels that were removed. And it was just a systematic censorship with YouTube, people who had YouTube administrative privileges that were removing me. It wasn't a flagging system or whatnot. So it's been quite a few over the years. Now, I typically don't get more than 500 or 1,000 subscribers before they censor me. But I think I'm having a little more success. And quite frankly, it's not just me. It almost appears as if the Jews, the censoring Jews at the JIDF, have laid off a little bit, almost as if they finally realized that what they were doing was making it even more obvious that they had something to hide. And or maybe they're arrogant and they think they've already won and they don't need to censor us anymore. But people such as yourself or any of us, right, we're not getting censored the way that we were eight years ago, for whatever reason. But that's what I've witnessed taking place recently. It's just not the same level of censorship that there used to be.
But now you have too. They have these apps and all these companies, SoundCloud, PayPal, you name it, all these companies that you can use. They're worse than the government pulling you down and censoring you, having clauses about being culturally offensive and racist and homophobic, and the list just goes on and on. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but those attacks on the messenger, I think people recognize, most people at least recognize them for what they are. And like I said, it was short-sighted and arrogant of them to engage in the blatant form of censorship that they were engaging in, where they just didn't even hide it. You could go to the JIDF and they would brag about censoring my channels, and I'm just one individual, but anyone who spoke any level of truth, even if you weren't calling the Jews out directly, the Jews would stand up and cry anti-Semitism. And people are like, well, wait a minute, I didn't say the Jews. And then of course, the critical thinkers in that person, in that individual messenger's audience, would also make that connection right away as well. So I think once more that it's not what it used to be, but those terms as well, like you're mentioning, racist and anti-Semitic, it wears off when you rely on it too much. And actually, I recorded a video in 2008 or so, and the title of it was, I'm an anti-Semite, and I essentially confessed to being an anti-Semite. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed one day. I just decided to hate Jews for no reason. It's all sarcasm, and, oh, they don't really own the media, but I'm flashing pictures that prove that they do. So the point is, it's let them call us whatever they want. Ultimately, they're doing so. Just it confirms their guilt. It lets everyone know that not only are the people we're talking about guilty, the criminals themselves, but the Jews and the Sionim who are concealing these crimes, they're just as guilty because they know that what we're speaking is the truth. And then they'll attack the messenger. They'll threaten you. They've threatened to dismember my children and you name it, all types of stuff that you've probably heard as well. Maybe not on that level, but they threaten and, you know, call us every name in the book. But all we have to do is continue plugging away. We have the truth on our side. And
that's right.
And as we were briefly talking about, I do an open mic where I invite anyone to debate me openly live, you know, on video and everything. And it's not because I'm the smartest guy. I don't even think that I'm all that intelligent. I'll tell these people, yeah, I'm stupid. It doesn't matter. But the facts are on my side. So as stupid as I am, and as intelligent, because Jews always, even Jewish people, they can't help but brag and boast of how smart Jews got in this position because they're smart. They're the intellectuals, and that's how they came to power. And that's why you hear them leading everything and everyone, almost always astray, of course, leading the dissent and in every, you know, both sides, basically. But as smart as they are, I would engage any of them or all of them right there live on a live platform because the facts are on our side. So, you know, that's all we have to do is continue plugging away, speaking the truth without apology and without compromise. Forget people's feelings. Who's, you know, we might hurt some people's feelings along the way, but I'm not going to reduce my message to the lowest common denominator or the ignorance of the sheeple or whatnot. So, you know, there's a lot of people speaking partial truths and telling flat out lies. There's very few of us who have such a deep understanding and who are throwing caution to the wind, so to speak, and simply speaking the truth. And that's all we have to do. It's really simple.
That's right. Well, real quick, I wanted to ask you, I saw your childhood class photo where you were the only white kid in the class. So I know you grew up in the hood. You had a different, a hard childhood. But what made you wake up to this war on our people?
Well, I mean, I think that my experiences were not as common then, but flash forward, you know, two or three decades. I'm about to turn 42 here, so I'm not too old, not too young, but things have certainly changed just from one generation to the next as far as our demographics and even, you know, the manner in which these Jews have basically forced this multiculturalism on us, opening our borders to the level of insanity here recently. Nothing surprising. I've been talking about that for years. I knew that they were going to start really, you know, ramping things up and taking it to this, to the level that they're doing it now. But as far as my personal experiences, yeah, white kid, blonde haired, up until I was 20, as blonde as can be, growing up in the ghetto, you can just fill in the blanks and imagine what life was like. Back then, I knew that I didn't fit in. Now, I did what I could. I fought and I adjusted. I was never picked on or nothing like that. Of course, I was targeted for my race, but I was a fighter or whatnot, and it was tough, and that's not the way that I should have lived, and I knew that that wasn't my culture and the way that any of our children should be raised, looking around at the few whites that were around me as well. So I knew then, but I was thinking of writing a book to let the good old boys in D.C., because I believe the narrative that whites were in charge and that whites everywhere else were, you know, benefiting from this white privilege and all this other nonsense. So I was thinking of writing a book or a movie to let them know, hey, wait a minute, let me warn you here. This is what multiculturalism is really like. So, you know, being naive, living in a bubble there, I didn't have racially aware parents. If I did, they would have taken me out of that environment, of course. But I knew things were off. I knew I didn't fit in. But I didn't wake up to the one and only question, quote unquote, that matters, the Jewish question, until 2007. I was living in Scotland, and I learned that there was Holocaust denial laws in many, I think it was 13 countries at the time in Europe. And I knew right away, number one, the Jews had something to hide. That's the only quote unquote historical event that we're not allowed to question. And number two, it let me know that they had the power to make that law to deprive the native European people of their freedom and their lives if they resist, based on a thought crime. So right away, I knew those two things. And then shortly there, I started recording videos at that point. I kind of took everyone along with my awakening. And shortly thereafter, everything just came together really quick because I understood that Jews were in power and, you know, that what everything that I was witnessing was leading to was white genocide. And you're talking about common themes, common denominators, a similar MO in every single white country with the laws that they write, with their immigration, you name it, it's the same everywhere. So, excuse me, I concluded naturally that this was a Jewish agenda and that the agenda was white genocide. It didn't take long to put that together once I realized Jews were in charge.
Yeah, once you wake up to it, what other topics are so important? I mean, here at Red Ice, we produce 3 shows a week, and it's a lot of pressure to keep it, you know, new and interesting. But once you wake up to the plan to basically destroy Europeans, what else can you focus on? I know we have some listeners that they get it, but it seems like some people just kind of have a toe involved. Somehow they see it, but they aren't full bore into it, which amazes me.
Well, let me tell you this. First of all, it's hard to believe. If I were to have the knowledge presented to me that I now have, even back then, at any point in my life, it's a process. It takes time. And when I say that it came to me relatively quick, it still took months. And even then, I was saying the Zionists and the Marxists or whatnot, when the reality, and this is what I tie, every one of my videos, it comes down to this. It falls under the Jewish race, or under the umbrella of white genocide, which is the Jewish race, and they are a race clearly and measurably different from us, and they understand that. And everything that they are doing, without exception, it goes back to their agenda of white genocide. Everything. They're not doing this because they want money or they want power or whatever else. They want us dead. And even the biological weapons of mass destruction that they've brought to our countries, pretty much every non-white, they are fully aware that these people can do nothing but destroy our civilization. But more importantly, we could build another civilization. They are here to destroy us as a people. And they, these non-whites, instinctively know the reality of race. And they line up along racial lines. But the main point is that the Jews are consciously aware of just how different they are from us. And again, their entire agenda is based on those differences.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't have to motivate the Jewish involvement in our genocide, but I'm thinking, can we really place all the blame on the Jews when our own are also voluntarily behaving completely retarded and suicidal? For me, it's unbearable to see our people just killing themselves before our eyes. But is it a fantasy to think that we'd all be fine had it not been for Jewish involvement?
Well, it's not a fantasy. And first, here's another focus that I have, social psychology, and understanding how everything is controlled from the top down. You don't, you know, not every Jew or Jewish person, not all Jews are the same. And I would love to get into the Jewish race, if you will, and we can talk about how they are different and the difference between Jews, the most racially pure, i.e., what sets them apart from us is that Jewish DNA. And they have more of it than anyone else. And then also the way they've bridged the gap between themselves and their host through the male line, spreading their seed. Whereas they've kept their race pure, if you will, through their women. I mean, we all know that they only view a person, a child, to be truly Jewish if born to a Jewish mother. So this is something that they've done throughout the centuries, and they've done it with a purpose. That's another topic that I would love to get into in a moment here. But basically, yes, they know what they're doing. And whenever you look at anyone in an organization, government, company, doesn't matter, the responsibility and blame starts at the top. It doesn't end at the top, but it certainly starts at the top. And they are the ones who are providing the direction. They are the ones who are providing the incentive for everyone who follows their orders and does their bidding, essentially. So there would be no Shabbos Goy if it was not for the Jewish agenda. There would be no incentive for these people to do these things. And I'm not giving them a free pass, because if a white person knows he's doing wrong, even though he's on a need-to-know basis, most of them probably don't know. Well, I would say the vast majority of them, because even a foot soldier, he doesn't know much at all, but he's still doing the bidding of the Jews, right? So we're talking about Shabbos Goy at all levels here, and very few of them are on, you know, on that need-to-know basis, are aware enough to know even a fraction of a percentage of what we know. But still, if they're engaging in behavior that, you know, in a healthy society, we would all shun, and we could all condemn them for it. You're lying, you're cheating, you're prioritizing money over what's right and wrong. Surely they deserve some, you know, they're culpable, no doubt about it. But the intent and all of the driving force starts at the top. And let's just say you took those, you chopped the head of the snake off, so to speak, and you put righteous men in charge, just me as an individual, then there's sensible solutions to the immigration problem. There's sensible solutions to everything we talk about. But what's transpiring, the things that are taking place in our world today are a desired result. This is what the powers that be wanted all along. And if you remove them out of the equation and put righteous men in charge, these things wouldn't be taking place. And we don't have to look that far back for an example, where the National Socialists in Germany, they were led by righteous men who truly loved their people and did everything that they could to essentially remove this parasite from their midst. And obviously, we know what happened there. But just for this point, they only had about a decade of time. And look at everything that they accomplished. Look at how wonderful life was in National Socialist Germany, despite the fact that the entire world waged war on them. They accomplished more in that decade than we've accomplished since. And that's because we are being governed by people who want to destroy us. And clearly, they were being governed by leaders who wanted to save not just the German people, but by extension, the entire white race. I mean, mm-hmm. they didn't want to go to war with any of us. No. That's a certainty.
So what do you think drives this Jewish elitist? Is it his spiritual? Is it physical? Is it both? Because we know they don't believe in heaven. This earth is their heaven. Is this about reigning on the earth, or what is it?
Well, like I said, the Jewish race understands fully that they are distinctly and measurably different from us. And everything that they are doing and everything that they have done, all of the Jew-orchestrated wars and famines and revolutions all throughout history, they've been killing the very best of the Gentiles. And I wouldn't call it dysgenics, I call it malgenics, because there's a clear intent behind everything that they're doing. And it all adds up. And you need to look at it from a big picture perspective to see that this isn't, you know, we were born at the tail end here where our backs are clearly against the wall. But all of the things that happen, that are happening in our lifetime have also been taking place all throughout history. And if you take a step back, it is clear that there is an upper echelon of Jews who know exactly what they're doing. Now, they have useful idiots. They have Jewish people who are a quarter Jew or even an eighth Jew. Look at Tim Wise. I mean, he's a quarter Jew, and he may only be an eighth Jew, depending on how Jewish his one Jewish grandparent is, right? Biologically, he's no more than a quarter Jew based on his own admissions, but he is an open advocate for white genocide. So everything that they are doing now in the here and now that we can all witness transpiring all across the globe, and it transcends boundaries and time, all points to white genocide. I mean, even they've been using their Arab cousins, and they are close. Their closest biological cousins are the Palestinians and the Arabs. Jews originated in the Middle East. So they've been using their Arab cousins against us all throughout history. There's evidence that they have subverted from within, opened our borders, and provided these non-whites, specifically Arabs, but now everyone, the opportunity to come in our base, to arm them with our weapons, to disarm us of our weapons, of course. And I mean, they're doing that right now in front of our own eyes. And that's what they've been doing all throughout time. It's not just deductive reasoning here to say, well, look, I can see this taking place, but there's evidence to support that. And I'm not saying it's every Jewish person. Long story short here, my sister married a half Jew, right? I'm no longer in contact with my family, obviously, because of the yeah. stuff that I'm saying. And he went and turned my whole family against me. It's neither here nor there. I'm just making a simple point here that this guy's only part Jewish, and he doesn't know, or he didn't know at least, because he's been listening to me and he certainly doesn't have any excuses now. But I don't think he knew what I know or what I've come to know. But at the same time, Jews and Jewish people were taught from the time they were born that the better part of who they were was Jewish. They might only be an eighth Jewish, but their last name's Jewish, and they consider themselves to be part of the tribe, again, where even a person like Tim Wise, who is no more than a quarter Jew, would still openly advocate for the genocide of the better part, the greater part of who he is. Now, I'm about 13% German, and the rest is, I'm about as Celtic as can be otherwise. And I, as a, you know, mostly Celtic person, would never think of working towards the genocide of Irish and Scottish people or whatnot if there was a German agenda against Celtic people, right? I mean, it just wouldn't happen. I wouldn't do it the other way either. But I think that kind of it gives us a good example that even when a Jewish person is an eighth or a quarter Jew, they are still, they are so attached to that Jewish DNA. And I would say that it's almost like a psychopathic gene, and it takes control of them, but it's also conditioned in them as well.
I noticed too, people get so excited as they find out they're partially Jewish because of all the programming coming from Hollywood. So they're like, yay, I'm Jewish, you know, and then they like want to be part of that tribe because that tribe is basically reigning, and most of the billionaires in America are Jewish. They want to be in that club, you know?
Well, of course, and nobody And see, this is, goes back to my childhood. And I'm sure that many other of your listeners would identify with this as well. There was a lot of self-hate even then. And I had friends of mine growing up that would say, well, I'm not white, I'm Italian. I mean, they, in their ignorance, they didn't realize it. Italians are white, obviously, but I'm just making the point that there's a lot of, or Indian or whatnot. So there's a lot of guilt. And if you are 75% white or 90% white and 10% Jewish, well, you've heard your entire life, especially if your Jewish father or mother or whatever is teaching you that that's the best part of who you are. It's the most important part of who you are. Jews are intelligent and they're smart and they're obviously in control, and it benefits you to claim your Jewish ancestry as the end all. You know, you're not white, you're Jewish, right? It benefits you, but also these are the greatest victims of the world, and people would rather identify with victims than oppressors.
Yeah, that's why I think it should be good news to them. And I say this over and over, learning some of the facts about the Holocaust, right? Like your brother-in-law, he should be happy to learn some of those details.
Well, here's my thing too. And this isn't to be unfair, because I'll always be reasonable with each and every individual that comes along. But I did listen to your last guest, at least parts of the show. And I don't know, you know, I can't really, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt and say she's being dishonest with herself. But if you believe your entire life that that's the most important part of who you are, and as she said herself, you know, Jews are super smart, and that's why they're in power. And of course, I don't know. I really could break that entire show down, and there's all kinds of points to be made. I don't want to get, you know, side railed on here, but she was making a focal point to say that they are, you know, this victimization, or what is she? She used a certain term for it. She kept referring to it, that the Jews who are there, that they're insane. That they, you know, that what I cannot remember the word she used, but it was basically portraying them as victims, and they believe themselves to be victims, so therefore they act. Oh, the persecution complex, that's what she called it. That they are responding to, whether it's real or just in their head or just flat out lies, as is the case. The Holocaust is a flat out lie. What the Germans did to the Jews was, this is a lie. What the Jews did to the Germans is what we should be focusing on, and that's what the one of the things that the Holocaust does. It prevents us from, you know, exploring the facts of World War II, what led to it, and who was really being murdered, right?
Mm-hmm.
But bar none, I've had a lot of experience with Jews and Jewish people who have either come to my websites or come to my videos or whatnot, and I'll always try to be reasonable with them. But when push comes to shove, they just will not go where the facts lead them. And I, again, if they're not being dishonest with us, they're being dishonest with themselves, and they... it's just something that they don't want to accept, or they will not openly admit that the things that we're saying are right. It's as if these things are happening in a vacuum. All these blacks that are in our countries and all of our countries, and the programs, the welfare, everything that they've done to facilitate this genocide on all levels, these people will pretend or act as if it's happening in a vacuum, or as if Arabs, you know, Arabs are the greatest victims. Arabs are behind Hollywood. Arabs aren't behind anything. Jews are the ones who have an undeniable monopoly over our media. And if we just stop there, then we would automatically know that they control everything else, because the powers that be would never allow an outside force to have, you know, such an influence over their media. But the fact of the matter is that they control the money, they control the government, all the laws, everything. They're behind everything. As many of these Jewish people will admit, they're just going to tell you that they're there because they're smart. But even if that were the case, even if they were there simply because they were smart, this Molyneux, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right.
Stephen Molyneux. His mother's Jewish. Yes.
It doesn't even matter who these messengers are. It doesn't matter. My name is Mud. Your name. It's just, we're trying to get to the facts here. But you cannot sit here and act as if all of these things are happening in a vacuum, as if the government has a mind of its own. You have to see who's there. And if you're going to admit, as this Molyneux guy admits or acknowledges, whatever you want to say, that Jews are in power, even if you want to say they're there because they're super duper smart and you can't help yourself, and he's always bragging about how smart he is.
Exactly. I'm saying, he says how smart he is, but then he denies that there's a war on white people, and he thinks that the Holocaust and the gas chambers were real. It's like, well, you're not that smart then.
Well, he's being dishonest, obviously, if only with himself, and that's giving an amount of the benefit of the doubt that he probably doesn't deserve. But I've only listened to a couple of his videos. Nonetheless, let's just to make my point, they're there, they are in power. Whether they got there because they're, you know, they are subversive and they took control the way that you and I know they did, or because they're super duper smart, they are still to be held accountable. So he didn't continue to go on. That's an obvious point there. Okay, they got there because they're smart, but nonetheless, they're still in control. So therefore, when all of these things that you're talking about are going wrong, and you have a responsibility to stand up and speak the truth no matter what, as he says, then obviously. It doesn't take an intelligent person to realize the people who are in charge, the people who are calling the shots, they bear the burden, the majority of the responsibility, if not all of it. Because again, my point to you a few moments ago was whoever's in charge, they're the ones who are given the incentive. It's a trickle-down effect. And everyone beneath them is doing their bidding on a need-to-know basis. And this is just, to me, it's simple social psychology that you also have to understand the psychology of the average person. We're followers, most of us are at least, and we're not critical thinkers, and we're not going to go out on the edge and question authority. And, you know, this is something that I think people need to have an understanding so that they know that the blame, 100% of the blame, let me be clear about that, falls on those who are at the top. If this is clearly a Jewish agenda, and I don't care how many Shabbos goy you want to point to and tell me, well, you know, Ted Turner or this white guy, that white guy, from the top down, it is being orchestrated by Jews and their agenda is white genocide.
Well, let's get into the refugee crisis because, yes, it's still going on, but it seems that the news has just been intentionally, they just stopped covering it because there was just way too much footage coming out. The truth was leaking out. So what are your thoughts on what's happening in Europe right now?
Well, first, I think that there's some basic points that I could make here, and I'm kind of going to skip over those here. But what's taking place there is we've obviously been disenfranchised. It doesn't matter what we want. It doesn't matter what the true polls are, statistics. I mean, they're going to lie to us. They're going to tell us 90% of Germans are all for this. And then they're going to parade in front of the camera the handful. And there are some self-hating, I don't like to use names, to, you know, name calling, but I'm, you know, no one directly here. These are morons. They are not critical thinkers. Let's put it that way. So there's no shortage of them, no doubt about it. But they are a very small percentage of the population. The Jew-run media has an incentive to conceal the Jewish agenda of white genocide, obviously. So again, that goes back to my point earlier about their being complicit and culpable, whether they are carrying this agenda out or concealing it. And then you have to start to understand just how widespread it is. It gives you an idea of how many Jews truly are in on this. The ones who are passing these laws, who have created this problem in the first place by opening our borders. And now it's at the level of insanity, but they opened up our borders decades ago. The ones who created this welfare state so that these, it's more malgenics, right? The best of us are not allowed to reproduce, or we cannot afford to reproduce because we're footing the bill for the bottom of the black barrel and the Muslims and everyone else. These are people who would otherwise not be able to afford to have so many children if left to their own abilities in their own countries, but they come to our country and they get a free house and all this extra incentive to have, you know, having children, non-white children, i.e. white genocide is incentivized, right? So they have an incentive to do these things, but that's not happening in a vacuum. These Jews know this. So when the Jew media is there telling us flat out the exact opposite of what we see, they are also, in other words, people welcome this. And these non-whites are, a blessing to our economy. We need them. For some reason, Germany has to have 100 million people. I mean, you know, that's the goal, is our economy has to continue growing. And just these flat out lies that I think people are well beyond now. It's Democrats and Republicans in this country looking for votes. They're going to do the work that we won't do. I think people have seen beyond that now. But people are also seeing that these aren't refugees. They aren't women and children. It's mostly military age men, i.e. it's an invasion. This is a Trojan horse. And you're talking about millions of military age men. Most standing armies don't even have a million personnel in them. So we're talking about an invasion force that, even if we still outnumbered them 3-1s at some point in the near future here, we're not in a good position, let's put it that way, especially since we've already been disarmed, and then we'll find a way to arm these people in the black market or whatnot as well. But the point here that I'm trying to make is that they know exactly what they're doing, and people are seeing it. But the Jew media is not going to lead on to the fact that most people are against it. They're going to tell us just the exact opposite. Just like they're telling us that these aren't insurgents, these are refugees, they're going to tell us that our own people are all for it. Because then the psychology of the average person is going to be like, wait, this is crazy. But you know what? Bill and Bob and Hans and Franz down the street and everyone around me is all for it. So it's not in the nature of the average person to stand alone or stand up and speak about something. But if they were to come out with the true numbers, I'm just guessing here and I'm making a point, and 90% of the people, and I would say 100% of the people, if they knew what this was all about, would be against it, obviously. No one would be for white genocide. No one before the genocide of the German people as a German person, especially.
Some are just blatantly, yes, you know, we don't want to be German anymore. Just bring them all in. Let's mix it up.
But again, they don't know the truth. They don't know what really took place with the Holocaust, right? They're still guilted by that false guilt. They don't know the truth. So I'm saying, knowing the truth that, you know what, these victims are really the ones who are mass murdering people and have been responsible for the death of hundreds of millions of people in just the last century alone. They've been Jewing us for centuries. They've been poisoning us in every way that a people can be poisoned. They subverted our everything. They're destroying nature itself. If you knew, because white people are altruistic. You know, even when they get us to go to war with our brothers or against others, they have to convince us that we're doing it for the betterment of mankind, or because those other guys are just bad guys, they're evil. So we want to do the right thing, even if it means attacking our own people. So if these sheeple, if these brain dead people, that morons that upset us so much, and believe me, it drives me a little bit insane as well to see these self-hating people openly calling for their own genocide. But I understand that they know not what they are saying, what they're asking for, or what's going on.
Yeah, well, there's this, was a 28-year-old woman in Sweden. She was recently, a couple days ago, raped on a train by an invader, Iraqi, I believe. And she didn't report it because she felt sorry for him. So I know she's mind controlled, but at some point you just have to think, God, this is nature saying you're not smart enough to survive, don't you think?
No, I will disagree, because I don't think that this comes down to intelligence. We're human beings and we're all different. And I have friends who are far more intelligent than I am, that I've known from college or whatnot, that they don't get it. And they, you know, we're different individuals. I don't think I need to make that point to go any further with that, but we're different as individuals, and people react differently. And whether you're more or less intelligent than I am, that's not the determining factor. There are people who have leadership qualities. There are people who are critical thinkers. And then there's people all across the spectrum who are critical thinkers to a certain degree, some who just really can't think for themselves at all. And I don't really think intelligence, like an IQ test or whatnot, or someone who's book smart, is a determining factor in that regard. And as a matter of fact, I think that there's a lot of lower IQ people who have woke up to the Jewish question more so than those who are measurably more intelligent, because those people are typically more comfortable in life. So what I've noticed over the years, the first people who woke up were, you know, no offense to anyone or even myself, were people who were either having a rough time or some things happened in their life or whatnot. And that didn't even take place with me, but I'm just saying, generally speaking, people who aren't the sharpest tools in the shed.
And here's the thing. So if we're not dealing with all these, you know, rich pro-white people waking up saying, yeah, let's fight this influence. So how do we get this influence, this parasite, off our back? Because we're up against so much opposition. I mean, we know what the problem is. So what are we to do when we're up against so much opposition? Some people say, well, don't focus on that. We just have to do our own thing and disconnect. What do you think?
Well, just one final point to make there, just because I want to have some room for optimism. I'm pretty doom and gloom with a lot of things, because I am a realist. I have noticed over the last few years that the quality of people who are waking up, you're a testament to this, and so are many others who, I mean, you might have been around for years. I'm sorry if you haven't. I didn't catch on to your—
That's okay.
—to your stuff until recently, but I definitely see a higher caliber of people in general.
That's true. Very true.
Recently. So we're making progress in that regard, and this truth will spread exponentially. The first 1% of people who get it are, you know, these are the, you know, they're cut above the rest. These are critical thinkers, and they're going to go wherever the truth leads them, even if they're the only ones and if everyone around them shuns them and flat out condemns them. But then the next to go to 2% is easier than the 4% to 8%, and so on and so forth. So it gets exponentially easier. However, my point here, and I'm going to keep going back to it, because it comes back to understanding the heart of the problem, the head of the snake. That has to be dealt with. And then I look at all of our people, even Uyghurs or whatnot or whomever, I you know, to a certain point. Now, the truth's right at our fingertips now, and we need to be held accountable as individuals at some point. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I understand the nature of the average man. The Jews understand it even better than I do, and they've been manipulating us through that understanding. They understand Gentile psychology, or just the psychology of the average person, better than most people. It's been how they've taken advantage of our kindness, of our weaknesses, and everything else. That's why we're in this situation, more or less. So again, the problem starts and ends at the top, And I could get caught up talking about these liberals and these brain dead whites or the Shabbos Goy or those who are even knowingly, or at least on, to some degree, that have an idea of what's going on and still serve the Jewish agenda. But I prefer, because I think it makes the most sense, to talk about the problem from the top down, because that's how you solve it. We can talk about all these individuals, these Shabbos Goy. We could deal with them in whatever way. We can go on about all the symptoms of the disease, but that focal point always, 100% of the time, because everything can, in fact, be traced back to those who are in power and this Jewish agenda. And that's the only way we're going to resolve this problem, by waking people up.
And I get that, but when they control everything with billions, I mean, what's the strategy to break it up?
Well, here's the thing. They control, and just this government alone, right? The media, the money, the medical industry, the government, and everything that falls under that umbrella. You just go on down the list, and they, the dissent as well. They control the NRA, and they control everything to a degree. They are heading these organizations. Even the militia in most of our states right now are being controlled by Jews. So they know what they're doing, and they've taken control of pretty much every agency and institution and organization that you could possibly go on down the list here. And that goes for all the countries in Europe, to include Russia, and I would even argue in China and other countries as well. But here's what they absolutely 100% depend upon. They need to maintain their narrative. If the average person was no longer willing to do their bidding, if you or I could snap our fingers and everyone woke up at least to half the truth that we know, they would be out of business. They would be done. Their entire house of cards would collapse and cave in on itself. So despite the fact that they own and control all these things, and all these puppets, the Putins, the Trumps, and anyone that you want to sit here and name right now, are more or less controlled by them, as are the governments and everything under that falls therein underneath that, what they must maintain at this point in time, because they can't strong arm us, they need us to do their bidding against each other. They need to maintain their narrative. And that's why, even with in this country, with the race narrative, they will tell us the exact opposite. Mike Brown's an innocent victim, and he had his hands up, and George Zimmerman was a white guy. And I mean, they'll tell us stuff that we can see it's not true. You know, we know that it's not true, and we know these aren't victims. And then we have to understand, too, that they've been doing this all throughout time. If they're going to lie to us that blatantly, right here in our face, in the here and now, things that we can verify and see for ourselves on video even, and then, you know, and tell us that it's the exact opposite, then what white people, and what all people really should understand too, is that the things that they tell us that took place 100 years ago or whatnot, again, lynching, for instance, they make it sound as if there was a black man lynched from every other tree for no reason at all, when in reality, you could look at the Tuskegee Institute, and these are black people, right? And they will tell you themselves that over a 100-year, roughly 100-year span of time, there were 45, maybe 46 somewhere. These are rough estimates. You can look it up for yourself. 4,500 lynchings, of which 1,500 were white people. So that leaves 3,000 blacks over a 100-year span of time. That's hardly a black person being lynched from every other tree just for looking at a white girl the wrong way. And you can bet your ass that of those 3,000 blacks, I mean, I can go find 3,000 blacks in Chicago committing crimes today in one city alone who are guilty. I'm not going to say that maybe they, you know, deserve to be lynched or whatnot, but they are committing crimes. These were real criminals. But the point is, if they're going to tell us right in front of our own eyes what we can see, you know, taking place, unfolding right before our very eyes, that it's the exact opposite of reality, why would we trust them when it comes to anything on the past, whether it's the treatment of blacks in this country, whom, by the way, they brought here, knowing what they were doing, as a matter of fact. When it comes to Indians or when it comes to the Crusades or anything else, I mean, they flat out take the truth and turn it on its head, as they did with the Holocaust, as they've done, or even with the African slave trade. They orchestrated that, but they're never going to say that in any of their movies. They're going to blame white people. So,
well, what I'm hoping is, you know, Jewish expulsion. All our ancestors, this knowledge is deep in their psyche. As Europeans, on some level, we remember that in our DNA. What happened? Why are people threw some of these Jews out, what they were up to, okay? I mean, that's in our psyche. But now we're dealing with this thick programming, so it's really hard to reach people, even like on the simple, obvious stuff. So I find with a lot of the white genocide stuff, you have to keep it entry level. You can't just like go for the cutthroat right away. You know what I mean? So how do you begin to talk with people that need the entry level kind of stuff?
Well, again, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I am experienced in this, and I think that I can take a person from ground zero who's completely brain dead, and if they give, you know, if they permit, if they give me enough time, and they're truly open to what I'm saying, I believe I can bring them all the way. And there are enough people who are speaking partial truth. So those of us who are aware on our level have a responsibility, again, not to dumb our message down or, you know, to even treat people. Like I my random neighbor across the street or whatnot, I'm not going to treat him like a child. I'm going to treat him like a grown man who can handle the truth. And if he can't, then that's on him. But I'm not going to pull any punches. I'm not going to use derogatory language, but I'm going to tell him the truth. And then he might not get it now, and I've used this example before, but I had a plumber who came to my house back in 2009. This is just a good example, and there are others. But I was talking to him because more or less he didn't have a choice. He was there to do a job, and he really, you know, he's being polite. And for about an hour, I just filled his head with everything, and he was just, okay. And he really didn't respond too much. But then about a year later, he came to my house unsolicited, and the guy was just like, oh, my God. And he woke up because he heard it from some other people, and it reinforced not just what he heard from other people, but the events that were unfolding. I told him what to look for. And I think that's the approach. If I tell someone, they might not get it, but then when they hear it from you and someone else, this goes back to the psychology of the average person. They're not followers, they're leaders, and they need comfort in numbers. And there's some people who are hopelessly lost, and they're never going to get it until everyone around them gets it. And obviously that's not going to happen until we control, if we ever did take control of the mainstream media and the narrative. But I think that we have a responsibility. If we don't do it, who else will? To speak the entire truth, to not dumb our message down, to not care about any individual's feelings. I don't care about my feelings. I don't care about my personal life, my plight, where I've been or where I'm going. These problems are much bigger than any or all of us. I'm here to do whatever I can to get that message across. Why? Because I believe that is the first step for us to secure our future and win our freedom, to wake people up. And then as I pointed out earlier, you have an exponential effect. When two people get it, then it's easier for the next two and a four and pay it forward. And if someone had listened to me in 2007 and 2008, my first videos, that's what I was telling them then. Don't thank me. Don't send me money. I don't want anything from you other than for you to stand up. Your name's John, you know, not John Doe, but you know, there's something to be said about people showing themselves. Let's not corrupt this culture from the beginning that we need to fear the big bad Jew. We don't have anything to fear. We're here speaking the truth. They're the ones who should be hiding, not us. And even if a person doesn't do that, to at least not come up short in the effort department. And if we all were to do that, then I promise you the truth would spread at an exponential level. And we truly are in a race against time. I knew this very early on. And the Jews certainly understand it. They know that once a certain threshold is crossed, that they're out of business, that they will no longer be able to do. I mean, let's put it this way. If it wasn't for the internet, 9/11 would have already turned into all sorts of other problems. And we're on the verge of World War III now anyways, but we would have already been there. So they have to watch what they're doing, and they can't make it. And I know this sounds funny because it's pretty obvious with most of what they're doing, but they are definitely being more careful than they would otherwise have been if not for that truth spreading. And they know that it's going to get to a certain point that if too many people know, then they're just not going to be able to, especially if we're not in the minority. See, once whites are totally disenfranchised. I mean, let me take that back, because we are disenfranchised. But once we're disenfranchised and in the minority, we have these non-whites ruling over us, not just Jews, but they're putting blacks and others in positions in the police, local police departments and politics, the mayor, the governors, you name it, the lawmakers, they're putting them in positions to govern over us. And, once that happens and we're a minority, such a small minority that we can't defend ourselves against them. Forget about being.
Well, and one thing you can count on, sorry to interrupt, there is going to be some kind of collapse if these people are in these positions. Of course, though, I think we need to think long term, because we're limited as to what we can do. And these solutions are going to take a lot of time, planning and investment, I think, on every possible level. So we know the obvious problems, and it's clear to me that things are going to get worse. So I think the next thing would also be to worry about in the background is to become self-sufficient, begin to plan now, hoard money, buy land, get land with friends, growing food, weapons. I mean, this is a real thing. I think it's common sense forecasting of what's to come. I mean, you don't have to be a psychic or a doomsdayer to see what's coming, right? So I think we have to also be prepared to wait this thing out like a snake in the grass and strike when the time is right to pick up the pieces. What do you think?
Well, no offense, but I disagree simply because, well, first of all, money, we can save all we want. They can collapse this economy.
Buying certain resources and whatnot that could be valuable.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, here's the key. Number one, awareness, and number two, coming together. If we're not organized, because to go back to the earlier point that I made, 90% of the people in Germany, for instance, or in any of our countries, could be against genocide, the immigration, especially the level of insanity that it's at now. But they're going to tell us that it's the opposite for the reasons I already covered. They're going to give us polls, just BS polls and statistics. Oh, but I mean, I'm telling you this right now, we're already the minority, at least much closer to being a minority than they've ever let on. Certainly not these dates, 2015, all this other nonsense. So they use statistics and polls and all this stuff to psychologically manipulate us into thinking we have more time, that things aren't as bad as they are. And we have to keep that in mind. I see far too many amongst us using statistics. And I'm like, no, it's worse. It's worse than that. I promise you. They're including, and I you're on my Facebook list. I'll share this with you later. But I was randomly looking up, because I was a school teacher before at a correctional institute, and I was looking up a couple of my former students. And these were brown and black students. And I just happened on the first couple pages that I looked at, I came across these statistics where these brown people, these Asian people, these black people are being classified by the judicial system as white. So they're doing this deliberately. And this is, again, is just one more example as to how widespread this agenda is and how far they go to conceal it. But the point that I'm making, I'm sorry, I go off all over different directions, but to get back to the point that I was making, things are far worse than most of us. And I'm not talking about white people. I'm talking about those of us who are aware, the people that have websites and radio shows or whatnot. It's even worse than they believe, because they get caught up believing these statistics and they start seeing these women holding these signs, refugees welcome and whatnot. And they kind of take, it's two different points, but they take things at face granted that that's what it is, without realizing that these things are being used to manipulate people to get us to either go along or to remain quiet once we are aware on at least a basic level that this immigration is genocide, right? So what we need to do, and the Jews know this, and that was my point in bringing all that up, is we need to come together and organize, because John, Joe, Billy, Bob, Franz, and everyone else in all of our countries and all of our neighborhoods cannot like what's going on. But until we understand why it's being done and who's behind it, and then come together and organize in some real way in the real world, the Jews have no reason to even slow down. They're going to continue pushing their agenda, and they're going to continue flipping the script and controlling the narrative the way that we see them doing now. I mean, they are flooding our borders at a level that's it could not be interpreted as anything short of all-out war and genocide. And then they are telling us that we want it. And then they are telling us that, you know, they're going to do exactly what they want. Our leaders aren't going to, go to the polls and see what. Well, of course not. That's been the same for decades now.
Exactly. So, and that's why I feel, and I definitely believe we need to organize. I'm not saying go be a separatist and go disappear with your family, live in the countryside. I'm talking about communities that are gathering together of intelligent people, because we're going to need those intelligent people when the shit hits the fan, because I bet you, you know, there's going to be times when it's hard to get food. It's hard to get resources. It's inevitable. It'll be like, you know, South Africa will be like in the squatter camps if we're not prepared. So I kind of see like a co-op thing having to form in the background. We have to have all our bases covered. And in my view, white genocide is occurring on multiple levels, being mind, body, and soul. So we have to defend and protect all those areas to sustain ourselves, because the war is on many fronts, I think. Do you get what I mean?
Agree. I'm a prepper. I have more than me or any of my immediate dependents will need for a very long time. But here, you know, I pointed out earlier that the militias in many of our states here in the United States have been subverted as well. So they are looking to circumvent our ability to survive even locally on a most basic level. Back in Florida, there was this guy a couple years ago who was charged with what the hell was it called? Paramilitary training, and sent to prison. And all he was doing was saying, and the guy was, he was Hispanic. I'm not saying he wasn't white, but I don't think he was 100% white anyways, but white enough for the Jew media and the judicial system to condemn him, to deprive him of his freedoms, simply because he was talking about the coming race war. And he was coming together with just a few friends, one of whom was an informant, who later went on to testify that this guy didn't say or do anything wrong, but the judicial system, the government, Zog didn't care. But anyways, not to get too caught up in that story, people can look it up. They are making it illegal for us to, homegrown terrorists, right? Paramilitary training, all this terminology that they will use, and they will come down on us with the weight of the judicial system. If we organize on any real level that we would threaten them, even on a local level. So I'm not saying to give up, obviously, but we need to circumvent their efforts to circumvent our efforts to organize, even on a local level.
And you got to be wise and covert about it. You know, I see some of these like pioneer little Europe, and I'm sorry, but I think that that's really stupid just to have a website like blatantly saying what you're doing, what kind of people you're recruiting. And that might even be government for all you know. So I would never be a part of something like that. Well, I would definitely, it would probably be something that I would want to start myself, because then I would know it's legit and invite who I feel is a true friend, you know?
While I understand your point, again, I'm gonna humbly disagree in that once more, my approach and what I think that we all should have been doing from day one, and you use your real name, I use my real name, and we're throwing caution to the wind. We don't, you know, we know that our cause is a righteous one. They are, I mean, you know, they're not just killing us. It's the way that they're destroying nature. They're destroying everything. They truly are the destroyers. What they are doing to our people and they long for a future where they can torture us, rape our women, and they get off on that. The same way that you or I would take pleasure, we would derive pleasure from helping somebody on the side of the road or whatnot. It makes us feel good because that's how we're wired. Well, you know, we cannot engage in ethnomorphism when we're trying to figure these people out by projecting our morality onto them. They are wired as completely different from us as they could possibly be. They take pleasure in causing pain. They take pleasure in destroying the very best, not only of the Gentiles, but of nature itself. And I can envision at least many of these Jews looking back at their handiwork and laughing and saying, look what we've turned white women into. Look what we've turned white people into as a whole, the degeneracy and debauchery. And they're getting off on this. And they love when they have these Black Lives Matter crap. And they enjoy this. They feel as, it's almost like an arsonist who burns something down. He wants to come back and see his handiwork. And that's what they're doing here. But to my point, just to my basic point of my disagreement with you, I think, and if everyone did this, and it's not going to happen, I've learned this over about the past decade that I've been trying to get people to do this. But if we just all stood up and said, without apology and without compromise, you know, I'm so-and-so and here we are and we're coming together. And then we cut off all the Jewish angles. I mean, Jews are always going to look to subvert, but we don't put up with any Jewish behavior and the types of things that most of us, or many of us at this point in time, know that Jews engage in, partial truths, right? I mean, Jews are, first and foremost, any measurable Jewish DNA, they cannot be allowed in our ranks. We don't need Jews in our fight against Jews. I don't need a Jew to tell me the truth about Jews, you know? So we cannot make exceptions when it comes to this. 109 lessons later, right? Fool me once or fool us once, shame on the Jew. Now it falls upon us, especially in the age of information moving forward. If we were to succeed and expel these Jews, and you know, I've even said before, I don't even care about retribution. Forget punishing them. Punishment enough is make them live amongst their own. They'll cut each other's throats, but it's not our problem, right? We need to free ourselves. But in the process of doing that, these Jews are all in. The types of things that they've done to us and that they're doing to us openly right now, if the average person knew what they were doing, they probably wouldn't be as kind as I am in not asking for retribution.
Sure. And that's one of the things you just said, they're all in. I feel like a lot of our people, even people listening, are not all in yet. They're not putting in every single chip possible. I know we have to work, we have to take care of ourselves, of course, but it should be one of those things where every day, every minute, it's an obsession about survival and the future for your children. I mean, this is a moral thing to do, to fight back. I mean, this is war, you know? They're not going to stop until everyone is destroyed. So nothing is off the table as far as strategy goes, as far as I'm concerned. I welcome all possible strategies, and I welcome all ideas from brilliant men out there who want to fight back and organize. I think that that's what we're going to need to attack it from many angles.
Well, you know, but direct. And see, this is the thing. It's all about race. We're not fighting communists, capitalists, the globalists, the elitists, the Illuminati, aliens, zombies, or the dark side of the force. I mean, we're fighting against Jews for our very survival. Jews and all of their biological weapons of mass destruction that they brought into our countries with the clear intent of destroying us. You know, I look at Black people, for instance, here, and they're on their cell phones and they're driving Cadillacs. And it's almost like, nothing's comical to me. I mean, I'm as serious as a heart attack, right? I, despite the fact that you and I have had a little bit of trouble getting together over the last 2 weeks, it's a very rare, and I don't know if you've paid attention to my YouTube channel, but I'll record videos and stuff like that. I've just been working and I haven't been able to be on a schedule, but I never take a break. even when I'm with my children or whatnot, there are constant reminders in everything and everyone. And this world would be so unrecognizably different if the good guys had won the last war. We'd be living on, we would have conquered the heavens practically by now. We would be leaps and bounds.
Unlike that show, Man in the High Castle is trying to portray. God, there's a show, I think it's on Netflix or Amazon or somewhere there. What would it be like if the National Socialists won the war? You have to see that. Right. It's just total garbage.
The exact opposite of reality. And that's the thing. That's what people need to understand. Jews and their statistics, Jews and their narrative across the board on any level, they're telling us in the judicial system that black people are white, or that George Zimmerman is white, and that black people are the victims. They're telling us that it's the system is white privilege. It's based on a white supremacist system, I'm sorry, and that we all get some sort of a white privilege, when the exact opposite is taking place. The government openly and aggressively in all of our countries, not just in America, because of slavery or whatever bullshit excuse they want to give us, they openly and actively discriminate against whites. And that's obvious, but yet they tell us the exact opposite. So, you know, once more, and even getting back to the black people, for instance, or just non-whites in general, these people would have never threatened us. They have no business being in our civilization, in our society. They cannot contribute in any possible way other than to destroy, which is, again, why the Jews have brought them here and why they continue to bring them here, why they're empowering them, putting them in positions to rule over us. That's what they were brought here for. And they would have never threatened us from outside our base, so to speak, without our weapons, without being armed with our weapons. I mean, what would they have? Sticks and stones, you know, at most. And we would have already been centuries into the future. And these Jews have been doing this to us for centuries now, mind you. You know, we can go back through history. I'm a former history teacher, and I don't know what that means other than the fact that I was indoctrinated more than the average person. But I do have an interest in history. And, you know, the 30 Years War, which I did a video on, and many other instances throughout time where they have Judas, essentially, where they've been, you know, they didn't get expelled all those times just for the hell of it. It wasn't sudden anti-Semitism where the hosts just woke up and decided to hate on Jews for no reason. They push us to the brink because that's where they want to take us and push us over the edge. And then when we finally wake up and enough is enough, and in the 30 Years War alone, more than 50% of the German people perished, right? This is stuff that most people haven't even heard of, let alone the consequences and just the insanity. And I think one white life lost at the hands of the Jew or one of their biological weapons of mass destruction or one of their wars or famines or revolutions was one too many. But we're talking about hundreds of millions. And back to Malgenics for a moment here. They have manipulated our gene pool. And when they have went and spread their seed as males in order to bridge the gap between themselves and their hosts, it's a survival tactic for a moment here. Let's just talk about that topic. The Jewish race, knowing that they would stand out like a sore thumb, they kept their race pure through their women, and then with no real consequences, they spread their seed through their men, and you now have an army of false Jews, Jewish people, useful idiots is what I would call them, who self-identify as being Jews, but these racial Jewish supremacists would view these Jewish people, they would no more readily view these Jewish people as being Jewish enough than a white supremacist would view a Halle Berry or someone or any other mulatto as being white enough, right? So they've done this, and they didn't go and mix with the proletariat, with the peasants. They mix with the very best of European people. So when these Ashkenazis, who are on average, or they were, because nowadays they've spread even more and there are more of them, but they share, for instance, only 10% tradition with Western Europeans. They have more in common with Jews from all around the world than they do with their hosts. That goes with all Jews. And to me, Ashkenazis are the equivalent of a Eurasian, a mulatto, or a mestizo. They're just part European. But nonetheless, some of these smarter ones that these Jewish people, like your last guest or whoever, want to brag about, the ones that are 75% or more European, well, when they mix with us, they mix with the very best. In essence, they stole our DNA. And at the same time, even, you know, the quote from the Talmud, even the best of the Gentiles should be killed. And look what they did to the Russians. Under the Bolsheviks, where they went, I don't know if you read Under the Sign of the Scorpion, but they went and targeted the best-looking girls and boys.
Oh, I know. I'm Russian. My family was some of those people. They were aristocrats, and they were murdered. So they
either stole our DNA by mixing with the very best of the best, or they murdered those who remained. And I'm not saying
they did.
Yeah, so, you know, this is deliberate.
And we're paying the price for it. I feel, you know, all these wars are taking out the best of our people. And I almost feel like something like that's coming again. It frightens me when I walk around places in America and trying to have a business and how frustrating it is, how dumb people are becoming, how frustrating it is to do business. I don't know if you've been encountering this, but it's scary. I see how we're heading down this. I know you didn't want to use the term dysgenics, but I see it. I see it happening, you know, so well, it's like it's degenerating before our eyes. That's why I almost feel like, oh, holy hell, we got to pull out of this and pull the best with us and plan to, like, you know, have kids and have an association and pull away from this because it's going down.
Well, I call it malgenics, and I'll give credit to someone else. They brought that word to me back in 2009 or so because it's I don't even know if it's a real word, but it to me speaks of the malintent behind the Jews throughout the centuries. They put a bottleneck on our gene pool countless times through these wars, revolutions, and just flat out slaughtering and murdering the best of our people, specifically in these revolutions like the Bolshevik Revolution. And basically, at any opportunity they've ever had, they've done this, where they've engaged in eugenics while in their own race, and malgenics in ours, reducing us to a shell of our former selves. And then one good point that your guest did make last week is through sensible eugenics, the wrongs could be righted, just as the immigration problem and everything else. If you have people in charge who have the best intent in mind for the people, then there are sensible solutions. And of course, the Jews have tried to make, you know, National Socialist eugenics out like it's evil. But you give incentive to those who score the highest on IQ tests or whatever, just the ones who should be having 10 kids. You give them an incentive to do that. And actually, I have a medal that I bought at a gun show once that was given to a German woman who had 7 children. So they did exactly that. And then people who have illness or whatever else, I mean, this is a humane thing to do. Maybe you let them have a kid or something like that, because no one should be deprived of the joys of being a parent. But in no time at all, in a couple of generations, this would have a profound effect, just as what's taking place now is the exact opposite, where we have, you know, the social systems, the welfare systems in all of our countries, but here in the United States, where these black Juanita, I'm not Juanitas, well, we can include them people too, but
they're breeding colonies.
The Shawandos and whatever else. They're having 10 kids, like I pointed out earlier, where they otherwise wouldn't have had any. So now you have 10, and these are the bottom of the barrel blacks too. So, you know, you might know a couple of decent blacks, or you might have known, and obviously growing up around blacks, I know one or two out of, I don't know how many thousands, but they should be just as disappointed and upset, because while it looks like they're benefiting in the short term, the Jews are only using them to do their bidding against us. And they've engaged in malgenics of their race as well as a means to an end, to our end. But the point is, they've done this deliberately with our people and everyone else, while engaging in eugenics and selective breeding themselves. I still don't think they're that smart, though, if people want to go on about how super duper smart they are. I have not encountered, and again, I'm not that smart, but I could rate the best
they
thing.
They steal a lot. They rip off a lot.
Absolutely. But even in this capacity, as far as our dealings with them, I could, if I were to troll you, for instance, or anyone else, I could raise some doubt. As a good defense lawyer, and Jews pride themselves in that, your duty is, if you have a guilty client, is to raise doubt. Well, they don't do that. What they have done, like I pointed out in the beginning of the show, they've done things that actually provide us with evidence that they're guilty, and a platform to go on to the next point and show just how guilty they are. I mean, they're horrible at it. And they are not anywhere near as intelligent as they boast of being.
I want to ask you something, because I've been thinking about this lately. You know, when you do radio shows regularly, or you do videos regularly, do you think, are we kind of becoming an echo chamber? I mean, is there more that we're going to learn about ourselves through this process? But I keep feeling lately, the last couple months, like there's an aspect that's missing, and I'm trying to find what that is. So do you think we have all the pieces of the puzzle, or is there more that's still coming to us?
Well, as bad as I think things are today, and as much as I think I know, I'm going to discover something new tomorrow. I'll peel back another layer. I'm going to see there's more, you know, there's more to be concerned about than I previously thought. And, you know, again, to me, though, it comes back to, and don't get me wrong, I'm repeating the same stuff. Everything I'm telling you right now, I've said in videos, and after a while it becomes redundant. But that's the key, though, repetition. And sometimes I'll say something new, or I'll add one little point, and to me, that's worth it. And at this point in time, I'm not even reaching, my initial videos were, you know, Jews run the media, or Jews are doing this one individual thing or the other. And my point then was to get as many views as I could. Now I'm content with quality over quantity, where I'm influencing people who are active. I mean, really, that's who stuck around me. I've insulted everyone else and pushed them away, kind of weeded the weak out, if you will, or the lazy, because really this comes down to effort. So the people that I'm influencing now are just as active and they're putting forth just as much effort. And sometimes, you know, you need to hear yourself speak, or you need to hear someone else putting all this together. So I'm not saying I'm content, because I'm still every day spending the majority of my time, just not in videos, reaching out to the sheeple, whether it's in person or on CNN or Yahoo or whatever it may be. But we're certainly making progress, even if we're only affecting others. And there's a lot more people who are active now, like we pointed out, and a higher caliber and quality of people as well. But I would say that as bad as you think it is, and many others have thought it to be, it's worse, because quite frankly, these Jews have lined up all their pieces on the puzzle around us. They're coming at us from so many angles. They can pull the trigger on economic collapse. War could have started 5 minutes ago in Syria. But again, that is another point that I've been making a lot lately as well, is that all those players, Russia and everyone else included, they've been put there. I mean, it's a problem, reaction, solution. That's what the Jews wanted all along. They want to use Syria, not because of their interest for a greater Israel, or not just because of that, but for the greater agenda, where they want World War III and they need to build the narrative. So all of these things, and then some, biological weapons, just economic collapse, martial law, you name it, I would say that they're going to pull the trigger on all of these things at once. And what I also, I pointed this out to Angelo John Gage a while back, and he actually did a video where he said Scott Roberts was right, because he was thinking we had 5 years or a decade or even decades. And I was, you know, I wasn't laughing at it, but I was like, no, brother, you know, you're wrong. We don't have much time. They're about to do things where it's just going to go over the top. And this was before they started doing what they were doing with the Syrian quote-unquote refugees. And once that happened, he realized, as I was telling him, once they do something like that, to me, that's a sign that it won't be long. When they're going to go that all out and put all their chips in, so to speak, they got something.
I hope so. I hope it happens quick. The quicker, the better. You know, some days I just feel, you probably have this too, and I want to know if you do, but some days I wake up and people listening probably have this too. You feel, yeah, white folks are going to prevail. We're going to clean out the traitors and parasites from our nations. You know, you feel pumped up on those days. And then other days you just feel like, that's it. We're screwed. We're all going to die. Everyone's just idiots. And there's all this petty infighting among our own. We can't organize. You know, do you have days where you go back and forth between despair and victory?
Well, let me tell you this, my dear lady. You know, there's no guarantees. We've been taught all our lives the good guys win, and white people always have found a way. Well, we could have found a way. I don't know how many times we've been attacked and how many times the Jews have done, you know, they've Jewed us. But there are no guarantees in this life. There's no promises being made. Again, we were born into the tail end of an age-old agenda here. So I take nothing for granted. I don't want to leave anything to anyone, Putin or anyone like that, especially when there's so many signs that he's controlled opposition. But I'm just making the point. I don't want to leave anything up to anyone, even Mike Delaney or you or anyone else. I want to make sure that every single day that I'm doing absolutely positively everything that I can, and I'm obsessed over it. And I know that we're in a race against time, and I understood this very early on. So another point that I'm going to humbly disagree with as well is I don't want things to happen on their schedule. If they pull the trigger tomorrow, it's because they knew that they had to do it sooner than later, or it's basically on their terms. I want to get as much truth out there to as many people as I possibly can, and hopefully organize before they are able to beat us to the punch. I mean, I don't want things.
But
you know
how it is. You know, you make a plan; things never go how you plan. That rarely happens on this planet.
But the problem is this, right? And people have wanted to tell me all the time, well, you know, Jews aren't all powerful. I never said they were. But what they do is, even when they have hiccups along the way, they continue to push things in their general direction. And they're going to continue to do that so long as they, number one, maintain their narrative. That's what we should be attacking. That is my purpose in life right now. As long as they maintain their narrative, they will maintain control and power, not only of the main organizations, institutions, and entities, but also in the descent. They look to control, and they control most of it as well. So they are leading us from the top down from all angles, but they need that narrative to be maintained. Therefore, that is what we should be attacking.
Yeah, and as you're talking, I'm kind of just seeing you're mentioning angles, and I think that that's probably another thing that's kind of bugging me. I feel like we creatively also need to tackle this from new angles or other mediums, you know, to kind of break out and be out there more. Don't you agree?
Well, yes, ma'am. And my approach is straightforward on any, it doesn't matter what I or you or anyone else who's in the, who's aware is talking about, straightforward to the heart of the problem, obviously not using derogatory language and acting in a way that they would want us to, so they can say, look at that toothless, racist, hillbilly cracker, whatever they want to say, you know, Nazi, white supremacist and everything else. But again, no compromising. And I think that I'm 100% sure that our focus should be on attacking the narrative. Sure, we should prepare as individuals. We should prepare with our neighbors to, if in the very least, defend ourselves against their biological weapons of mass destruction. If they start World War III and all that, there's very little that we can do as individuals or as neighborhoods or militia or whatever it may be to defend ourselves against modern technology. And again, if you think that blacks and all these others that they have armed with, yeah, it's frightening, right? I see black people with guns and stuff like that. I'm like, my God, these animals have weapons now, modern weapons. They should have never been in a position to have any of these things, let alone rule over us. But I'm just talking about the fact that they have our weapons and they don't use them responsibly, even in murdering themselves with them. So it's insane. But what I'm also concerned about is a future with future technologies. And I don't mean to sound all sci-fi, but the technology could be there. It would be there definitely, given enough time, for Jews to have control over, I don't know, like Terminators or something like
They're
that.
They're already all over the transhumanist scene, but I think right. that we've got a lot of our own guys in there. You know, I just had a good talk with Cody Wilson, the guy to invent the world's first 3D printed gun, and he knows quite a bit, and there's a lot of other guys like him lurking around. They're not loud, but they're in that scene, and I think that they'll be coming out more when we need to organize, hopefully.
But here's the problem, okay, and this is just, again, even understanding technology and how it's accumulated and used, all of that technology that Jews have and that they've, by extension, given like to the Chinese, their Chinese military, that because they control China. But anyways, the technologies that they've given to non-whites and the technologies that they control, biological weapons, you name it, any and all things. It could be even stuff that's not weaponry, right? Our people invented all of these things, discovered, created, and we came up with these ideas, but they control the knowledge. They have pooled the resources and that knowledge. And your friend or my friend or this white guy somewhere could be the most brilliant person, excuse me, who, and I'm a little bit under the weather if you can't tell, I told you earlier, but I'm doing my best. Anyways, he could be the most intelligent person the world has ever seen, but he can only know so much, right? We have to come together, and that knowledge has to be controlled and pooled. And that's unfortunately what the Jews have done, where they have our weapons and technologies, stuff that we don't even know about.
Well, the good thing is it's a lot of white kind of geeky loner guys in the weaponry scene. And I think the more they feel pushed up against the wall, they might act a little differently.
But we need to see, here's the thing, it goes back to organizing. So let's say we organize, and let's say an individual, and I have no goal of being any sort of a leader, right? But let's just say I stood up and proclaimed myself the leader of whites worldwide. Well, in order for me to have real power, then people have to recognize that. They have to do what I ask them to do or whatnot. So when we have a leader, a righteous leader, it's not going to be me. I'm just making that point that an individual can rise and things can turn on a dime. And our people are certainly capable. So as much as it sounds doom and gloom, I believe in our people. I believe in our potential. And
well,
I had
some good news today. The Swedish Nationalist Party is quickly is rising, and it might become the largest party here pretty soon. So that's a positive.
Absolutely. And I don't know who's in the ranks there or whatnot, but if we have a party, an organization, and a strong leader to fall behind, to fall in line, it's the follow through that counts, right? It's, we can have the best leader in the world's ever known, but it falls on us to follow through and to do what he needs us to do and to just essentially do our part. Well, we absolutely need that. And once we have that and the best of our people are on board, then Jews and their non-whites will be stagnant. They're not going to advance their technologies. We will. So, you know, there's something to be said about that. But first and foremost, we need to organize. And I think it's necessary to have a leader to lead the way. You have people talking about a leaderless resistance and all that. I don't agree. I think we absolutely positively need to have a leader to lead.
Yeah,
the way.
I think so too. I used to think like that too, but it's kind of gone out the window. We also, and we're trying to work on this, and it's a lot more difficult than people would think. So if there's some good techie, smart people out there, we're working on, we want to put together the social network so we can bring together a bunch of like-minded folks on this level. I mean, people want friends, they want love, they want jobs, they want kids' play dates. You know, we need to start building those bridges in a serious way, I think.
Well, and then even as we talked about earlier too, the progress that's being made is not just in numbers, but in the quality of our people who are waking up. And I'm so, you don't understand. Just my goal has been to wake people up, as is yours and most others who have assumed an active role. And I am relieved. I don't want anyone thanking me for anything. I want them doing things. So when I see certain people with their websites or their videos or whatnot, it's not that they're sharing the burden and that it alleviates any responsibility, because I'm still going to continue putting forth effort in one way or the other, but it's a sign. And I've been blown away by some of these people where I'm like, wow, that's what I was talking about. You know, these are clearly intelligent people who are gifted far more than I am. And I believe that an individual eventually will rise up through the ranks who doesn't have all the shortcomings that many of us are. I'm not a professional. You're not a professional. We're just filling a void, in essence. I never had any aspiration. I never had any goals as a kid to do YouTube videos or to do anything other than make the ends meet and have children and grow old, right? But I never once thought, well, I want to do this, or I don't have any fun with this. I get nothing out of it personally. I don't want to get anything. I'm here to serve, right? But it's more or less to fill the void. So when I'm seeing the quality of people rising, and there are people amongst me now who truly get it, because if someone, they're off on the major point or two, I feel it necessary to correct them. And I don't want to settle, because the Jews are always going to look to lead the descent. So I'm looking for those signs, right, that I talked about earlier, cutting them off. There's no partial truths. I don't want to hear, oh, he's not naming the Jew because it's tactful, or he doesn't quite get, no, then. He doesn't deserve my ear, and I'm certainly not going to fall in line behind that person.
You know? I take the approach that I accept everyone if they're pro-white, and I know some people have a problem with that, and I don't. I feel like if you're white and you see what's going on and you care about your people, I'll gladly accept you with open arms, you know? Oh, I'm not as judgmental as some people.
No, ma'am, absolutely, and I say the same. Like, listen, Wiggers or whomever we want to talk about who didn't know any better. And I grew up in an environment like that myself, so I certainly understand it, but I'm pretty sure I'd have some understanding towards it regardless. If we don't wake them up, who will? I'm not here to cast stones or to cast off. I mean, that's who we're talking about saving after all. So you got to go pretty far to dissuade me and discourage me from trying to reach out to you as an individual. Now, what I'm saying is, as far as leadership is concerned, we need to hold our leaders to the highest standards and to hold them accountable for every shortcoming and every instance that they're wrong. And I would rather have someone who's putting forth effort. I mean, I want that, right? But I would rather have them make sure that they've done their homework and research and that they've figured things out before they assume an active role and start spreading disinformation. And again, I go back to the Putin stuff where, you know, I think some people are going too far with claiming he's a hero, a savior of the white race. He's going to lead us to victory and all that. Because that, to me, that creates complacency. The same thing with Trump. Well, 2016, so therefore, we're going to give them time that we don't have to give them. And we're going to base our thoughts on one thing that individual, Trump, said. When you're not listening to all the stuff that he's saying about his Jewish family and he's 1,000% behind Israel, stuff I'm sure you've heard him say. So we cannot give free passes. And anyone who's going to lead the way, it's going to have to come up through the ranks. They're not going to be put into a position and given all this attention in the mainstream Jew-run media if they are any threat to the Jewish system or establishment or the Jewish agenda. So we need a leader to emerge from our ranks, and then we cannot give him any free passes based on his ignorance or anything else. Now, people are wrong. I've been wrong several times as well. But there's integrity and honesty, and we need to have people who are honest despite their own personal interest means nothing. Hitler was there to serve the German people and to serve his race. That's what I'm here for. That's what any righteous leader would be here for, not for money or any sort of gain on a personal level, anything. I mean, that's what we need, and that's what a person would want to do who truly had our interest in mind. I'm sure that, and again, I don't want to project my morality and my way of being onto others, but that's the way I am, and I'm a nobody. I want to do everything I can And if I'm wrong, I want you or anyone else to let me know. And that's why I do these open mics or anything else. Is let me know. Tell me how I'm wrong. Let's get to the bottom of things. Let's destroy this Jew narrative, because that is absolutely essential for us to take it to the next level and ultimately to ensure the survival of our people.
And we can do it. We can out these people in new and creative ways. I don't think their approach would just be just Jew all the time. I think some people are really excessive about it and it just makes them look bad. But I think you can come about this in a lot of different creative ways, and we should encourage those ways too.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And there's a difference between being tactful and creative and being cognizant of the target audience that you're dealing with. As I made mention over all these years, I have never taken a break on trying to reach out to the average person, because that's what we need, more people to wake up. And when I'm talking to them, depending on the topic, it could be gun control, or I go to a lot of gun shows and stuff to talk to people. And, you know, I'm going to approach them from an angle of their interest, and it's not going to be Jew. I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that point, because it's the truth. And if they don't know that's who's behind these things, then all their knowledge that, wait a minute, well, you know, the government, or all these things are wrong. I think at this point, most people realize that things are pretty damn wrong. So what's missing is their knowledge of the why and the who. So my agenda is to get there. I'm not condemning people who take a different approach as far as, you know, they're, but there's a fine line between doing that for a tactful purpose and then being dishonest. So you'll have, I don't know, like Colin Flaherty, for instance, he's talking about black crime, all logical stuff that we all by now should know. But then if he never mentioned the Jews at all, okay, maybe you could sort of kind of give him a pass. But when he flat out comes out, when asked by a black guy, no doubt, Tommy Sotomayor, about the Jewish control over the media, and then he tells a bold-faced lie and says, no, it's not Jews, it's goofy white liberals, then he removes all doubt. Or when you have someone that I criticized early on, Nick Griffin, if he would have sat there and said, when the interviewer asked him about the Holocaust, if he would have simply said, well, you know, it's frowned upon to question the official narrative, so therefore I'll refrain from commenting, then I would say, okay, well, he's being smart. As a matter of fact, that's kind of an intelligent thing to say, because it lets people know about thought crimes, right? But when he comes out and says, there's no doubt that the German people mass murdered millions of Jews for no reason at all other than they're being Jewish, then he removes all doubt. So you see what I'm saying? There's a fine line here between being tactful.
I think, too, we should work the subconscious. The Jews know that. So how about showing a picture of, like, Schmeckles rubbing his palms with some bags of money, you know? Just kind of plant that in there a little bit, you know? Sometimes a picture can say a lot.
Well, no doubt. And I've done hundreds of, like, I would call production videos where I'll play music and do, like, put videos or whatnot. And this Shiska goddess, I don't know if she wants a real name being known. I do know.
Sinead, yeah, she comes on my show. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she's awesome, right? So she, you know, she's taken that to the next level. She's talented, and that she's one of the people who bring a newfound. Well, it's not like I didn't anticipate it. Like I said, I've always understood that the more people who know, the more people who are going to know, and the more freely they're going to be about speaking about it, and the higher quality of people we're going to have. But she's a living example of that. Putting out videos constantly. I know her mic's broken. I was actually trying to buy her one, and you know, she's wants to do everything on her own, just like I do, just like many of us. We're here not because there's money involved, not because we want people to know our name and thank us. And as a grown man, I don't care if people thank me or condemn me. I just want the truth to be spread, because I don't want what the Jews want to become our reality. That hell is
what?
Just...
No, what? We're definitely in it for the money. There's so much money talking right about white genocide.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. I've had people offer me money, large sums, excuse me, for my websites and all that. And I've never taken it directly related to any of my activism, because I don't want it to taint it. I'm not criticizing anyone else, because there are expenses or whatnot, but I just wanted to have that.
Think of it as a war fund.
No,
I think that's a good thing.
Listen, there's no doubt. And I've also told people over the years that if I have a worthwhile endeavor, you know, like let's do this project or whatever, you can entrust me with your money, but I'm going to let you know where it's going or whatnot. I'm just saying, from a personal standpoint, I've not done that, because number one, I don't want anyone to say that I have done it, make it appear like there's money in this, because there's not. There's no, none of us, no. None of us are making money on this. Most of us aren't even covering our expenses. But also, you know, people give you money, they typically want to influence what you're saying. And I've had a lot of people over the years who were like, wow, Scott, you're dead on right. And I'm, you know, I'm so happy you're here. And they sing my praises. But then, like, I don't know, I'll criticize Putin or something, and they view him as being like the Messiah, then obviously we got a problem. And I don't want that person thinking he can influence. In other words, I want to speak the truth, and I don't want to have anyone or anything come and be doing that. And even my past, my colorful past or whatever else, and I can't change it, but I'm not going to allow my past, my sins, my personal quagmires, or anything else to influence my message. I'm going to speak the truth no matter how much it hurts. It's a punch in the gut sometimes, but there are bigger problems than you or me or Sinead or anyone else.
I think you're absolutely right. Well, thanks so much for your time tonight. And as we end, please share your website details and your YouTube channel. I don't think you have a website, though.
Yeah, I know. I had a website and I had like 30,000 members, but I had some high caliber quality members that were active. And that website got shut down a couple of years ago, which was a shame because it was just 4 or 5 years of information that we had built, not just myself, but many others. And since then, I mean, I still have it. It's kind of defunct, if you will. But now, again, my main focus, I kind of don't need it, right? So I'll do shows like this. I'll do videos. And I'm reaching out when it comes to these shows and those videos to people who are already aware to kind of put things together, maybe, you know, argue some points to get to the bottom of things, take things just slightly to the next level, and or to reach out to the average person. So I just haven't found it necessary. But Mike Delaney still has TrueTube.tv, and you got Renegade Broadcasting, and there's lots of other good places and a lot of good information. I don't care where people get it from. But just in closing here, I do appreciate you having me on. I appreciate your patience. I'm sorry if I'm all nasally and whatnot. I've been under the weather. And there's several other topics that I would certainly like to discuss with you.
We'll have you back for sure, because the time just flew by.
Yes, ma'am, it did. It always does. But I do appreciate it, and keep up the good work. And you got a new listener in me as well. So thank you for all your efforts.
Thanks, Scott. As I said, lately I feel many of us have become an echo chamber. It's not easy piercing into new levels and finding new angles to tackle the beast, but I feel strongly that that's what we have to do. I get the benefit of simplicity and repetition, and it's necessary for newcomers. After all, the white genocide mantras caught me. So we need people on that front, and that shouldn't stop. But since Euros are diverse, we need to diversify our approach. And I know that's happening as we're attracting a broader audience. I hear from fine artists, dancers, actors, musicians, and I just met a highly talented man from the UK who is an illustrator working on kids' shows, who we're going to do a project with. I've heard from someone deep in the fashion business, investors, writers, programmers, farmers. The point is, we are reaching interesting, talented people who can use their medium, their craft, in creative ways to further spread our message of European preservation. And I hear from people all the time asking, what should I do? How can I help? Well, find what you're good at, or if you've already excelled in an area, how can you use that to affect others to see, to feel and know the truth about European people and the war that is being waged against us? Sometimes, too, it's just about the small little interactions and planting little seeds. For me, it's always been when I'm out on a limb, pushed to the brink, that's when the best ideas come, out of sheer necessity. Further, we all need to take a holistic approach to white genocide, which is affecting your body, mind, and spirit, from the thoughts in your head to the food in your body and even the spiritual practice you choose. Whether you know it or not, all these are taking hits from those who want you destroyed. It's not enough to destroy our body. They want your mind and soul too. Otherwise, they just shoot us. But no, the anti-white establishment toys with us, from chemically laced foods that kill us slowly and make us infertile, to suppressing natural thoughts and states of being, calling them racist and sick. And we're even told our spirituality that doesn't conform to this liberal new age is meaningless and based on hate. Therefore, to overcome, we have to be conscious of and tend to body, mind, and spirit in order to sustain ourselves from the hits we're taking. We have to feed each one of these aspects to not be lopsided. It's very challenging, but we have to balance these vital facets to have the energy, mental state, and longevity to win this war. Self-control, discipline, prioritizing, hard work, never giving up when all the odds are stacked against you. That is what wins wars. That is what builds a nation. We come from civilization builders, not civilization destroyers. No more complaining. If there's a problem in your life, fix it. Problems can mean a new opportunity to grow stronger and wiser. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we appreciate all your support. If you feel led to help us, as we do need the help, please sign up for a Red Ice membership to access all our radio archives, over 1,000 shows. Our membership per month is the cost of a drink in the city. Not much to help us keep things afloat. We put everything, and I mean everything, into this website. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk soon.